This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 10, chapter 22. Oh, sorry. Chapter 42. Text 1. Atha vrajan raja patena madhava Priyam grihitanga vilepa bhajanam Vilokya kubjam yuvatim varananam Paprachayantim prasahan lasaprada Sri Sukuru Vacha Atavrajan Raja Patena Madhava Sriyam Grihitanga Vilepa Bhajanam Vilokya Kubjam Yuvatim Varananam Praprachayantim Prahasanasa Prapachayantim prasahan rasa prada Prahasan rasa prada Atta then Vrajan walking Rajapatena along the king's road Madhava Krishna Striyam a woman Grihita holding Anga for the body, vilepa, with ointments, bhajanam, a tray, vilokya, a seeing, kubjam, hunchbacked, yuvatim, young, varaananam, with an attractive face, paprachya, he inquired, Yantim, going. Prahasan, smiling. Rasa, of the pleasure of love. Prada, the bestower. Translation. Sugadeva Goswami said, as he walked down the king's road, Lord Madhava then saw a young hunchback woman with an attractive face who carried a tray of fragrant ornaments, fragrant ointments as she walked along. The bestower of the ecstasy of love smiled and inquired from her as follows. Purport. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the young hunchbacked girl was actually a partial expansion of the Lord's wife Satyabhama. Satyabhama is the Lord's internal energy known as Vushakti. And this expansion of hers known as Prithivi represents the earth, which was bent down by the great burden of countless wicked rulers. For Krishna descended to remove these wicked rulers, and thus his pastime of straightening out the hunchback Trivakra, as explained in these verses, represents his rectifying the burdened condition of the earth. At the same time, the Lord awarded Trivakra a conjugal relationship with himself. In addition to the given meaning, the word rasaprada indicates that the Lord amused his coward boyfriends by his dealings with the young hunchback. We'll read a few verses. Well, Krishna said, who are you, O beautiful thighed one? Ointment. Who is it for? Too late. Who is it for, my dear lady? Please tell us truthfully. Give us both some of your finest ointment, and you will soon gain a great boon. Translation. The maidservant replied, O handsome one, I am a servant of King Kamsa, who highly regards me for the ointments I make. My name is Trivakra. Who else but you deserve such? Who else but you too deserve my ointments, which the Lord of the Bhojas likes so much? Translation. her mind overwhelmed by Krishna's beauty, charm, sweetness, smiles, words and glances. Tivakra gave both Krishna and Balaram generous amounts of ointment. Translation, anointed with these most excellent cosmetics, which adorned them with hues that contrasted with their complexions, the two lords appeared extremely beautiful. Lord Krishna was pleased with Tivakra, so he decided to straighten that hunchback girl with a lovely face, just to demonstrate the result of seeing him. Pressing down on her toes with both his feet, Lord Achyuta placed one upward-pointing finger of each hand under her chin and straightened up her body. Simply by Lord Mukunda's touch, Tivakra was suddenly transformed into an exquisitely beautiful woman with straight, evenly proportioned limbs and large hips and breasts, now endowed with beauty, character, and generosity. Tivakra began to feel lusty desires for Lord Keshava. Taking hold of the end of his upper cloth, she smiled and dressed him as follows. Come, O hero, let us go to my house. I cannot bear to leave you here. O best of males, please take pity on me since you have agitated my mind. At 11, thus entreated by the woman, Lord Krishna first glanced at the face of Balaram, who was watching the incident, and then at the faces of the cowherd boys. Then with a laugh, Krishna replied to her as follows, O lady with beautiful eyebrows, as soon as I fulfill my purpose, I will certainly visit your house where men can relieve their anxiety. Indeed, you are the best refuge for us homeless travellers. Translation, leaving her with these sweet words, Lord Krishna walked further down the road. The merchants along the way worshipped him and his elder brother by presenting them with various respectful offerings, including pan, garlands and fragrant substances. So tomorrow is text 14, if you can tell the writer of the board here. We'll continue on from text 14. So we see this particular pastime with Tivakra, or Kubja. Now, Tivakra actually means that she was this girl, or she was young, and very beautiful, except she was hunchbacked. And she was bent from her neck, her chest, and her waist, three places. So she would be walking along the road like that, and as described here, that she would make ointments, and her ointments were so good that the King Kamsa very much liked them, and she was delivering them to King Kamsa. But of course, when Krishna was walking along, he saw her and he saw the ointments. Of course, his relationship with her is something deeper than this particular incident portrays in that, and this is explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in the first purport. She was actually a partial expansion of Lord Krishna's wife Satyabhama. Satyabhama was one of the principal wives of Krishna. We know that Krishna married 16,108 wives, and he expanded himself 16,108 times, so he could be with each and every one of them. Satyabhama, before he married the 16,100 princesses that were kept captive by the Bhomasura in the dungeon, he had conquered different kingdoms and rounded up all the princesses and kept them like in a harem in his quarters below. So Krishna came and killed this demon and rescued the girls, and then said, you can all go home and back to your places. And they said, oh no, we can't, we're very ashamed, we've been kept by this Bhomasura, and you know, who will accept us? At that time, of course, the Vedic culture was so strong that, you know, a girl like that would be feel very ashamed to go back home and being with another man, an unmarried girl. So so Krishna said, what will become of you then? They said, well, no one will marry us now that we're being kept like this. So Krishna said, well, what? And they said, well, maybe you can marry us. How can I marry you? You are 16,100 girls. You are the Supreme Lord. You can do anything. So Krishna agreed. All right. And he got 16,100 chariots. First of all, he sent maidservants to these princesses and all sorts of other servants that dressed them nicely, bathed them, and, you know, do their hair and prepared them very nicely, and he put them on chariots and he took them back to Dwarka. And each and every one of them, he had a palace and expanded himself. So 16,100, but before the 16,100 there were the eight principal queens married by Krishna. And the first one, of course, was, who knows the first queen of Krishna? Rukmini. And then we have, of course, the other queen. In the Krishna book you can read these stories of how Krishna married the other queens, Mitravinda, Lakshmana, and so on. And Satyabhama was one of his principal queens. And we find here that Mr. Trivakra is an expansion of Satyabhama. Now, spiritually speaking, when one is in the liberated stage, even the living entity can expand himself and act in different ways, duplicate himself, because we're not limited. Here in this material world, we cannot do these sorts of things. You know, with that material body, how we can duplicate ourselves. They're trying to do it by artificial means, by cloning and so on and so forth. Duplicating, maybe perhaps one day you can duplicate yourself. Because this was done previously already by the yogis. Yogis could expand themselves somehow or other by their power. They could expand themselves. Prabhupada mentions up to maybe 7 or 8 times they could expand themselves, duplicate themselves. So the yoga, by the subtle science of yoga, the subtle practice of yoga, and one who is very, very advanced with the mystic siddhis can do those things. They are trying to do it in the laboratory these days, and with the different cells and so on and so forth, and creating, using the DNA and everything, and creating a replica or creating. Now they're trying to reproduce from the stem cell. They're trying to reproduce different, perhaps, replacements for the body. They're trying to build up to that. Perhaps a liver or something like that, isn't it? So in the material world, maybe one can do in a limited way that type of thing. But spiritually, one can expand. And of course, Krishna can expand himself unlimitedly. And the consorts of Krishna, Srimati Radharani, it is said that Srimati Radharani expands herself also, just like Krishna expands himself. Radharani expands herself. I was reading recently that from Radha's arms come Lalita and Vishakha. She's expanded in that way as Lalita and Vishakha, and then all the other gopis come from the different parts of the body. Just as Krishna expands them from different parts of his body, come so many expansions, forms. I was just reading with the Govardhan Hill, the original manifestation of Govardhan Hill in the spiritual world, when Radharani asked Krishna to provide a nice place for dancing and enjoying a nice hill with grass and caves and streams and rivers. Krishna looked within his own heart, and out of a loving feeling for Srimati Radharani, from that heart, from that love, all of a sudden sprang some seeds that went into the ground, and a great hill started growing. This is an unbelievable type of situation that someone in the material world would think, well, what's How is this? What is that? But so Krishna can expand himself in forms that are Swayam Prakash and so on, all these different forms that are like his own form, or you know, the four-handed Vishnu form, or you know, coming to this material world in the different incarnations such as Korma, Matsya, and Varaha, and Narasingha. He can appear in any form, expand himself in any way. He is not limited. We are limited by our material body. When we're liberated, we can do so many things. But not on the level of Krishna. Not on the level of Srimati Radharani. Radharani expands herself. And all that said, all the Lakshmis in the Vaikuntha, all actually are coming from, originally from Srimati Radharani, expansion of an expansion and so on. And just as all the Vishnus originally are coming from Krishna. So Satyabhama is expanded again, partial expansion. Internal energy. She is known as, Satyabhama is known as the Bhu Shakti of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We know that Parasya Shakti Vivaraya Suryate, that there are many energies of the Supreme Personality, multi-energies, expanded in so many ways, acting in so many different ways. Primarily there is Bahyanga Shakti, Antaranga Shakti, Tatcha Shakti, internal energy, external energy, and marginal energy, you and I. So somehow or other there is this connection between this Prithivi, or Trivakra, later on, she's also known as Kubja. Kubja means hunchback. Trivakra, you know, hunched in three places. Prithivi means, she's known as Prithivi, as she represents the earth. So she's not an ordinary person. Krishna has these pastimes with his expansions and his devotees, and he enjoys in this way. Sometimes the devotees take the part of great asuras, just like Ram with Ravana, and Krishna and Kamsa, and so on and so forth. You know, we know Jaya and Vijaya, they took the bird as demons. But they are devotees originally. Krishna always has dealings with these devotees in various ways. So here, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Trivakra, or Kubja, is the representation of the earth, and she is the Bhu Shakti, she represents the earth, and she was hunchbacked, which represents the burden of countless wicked rulers on the earth, feeling the burden. We know that in the appearance of Krishna, before the appearance of Krishna, Mother Earth went to Lord Brahma, being distressed at the burden of the demoniac rulers, and she prayed to Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma, of course, yes, the Supreme Lord will come. He prayed to the Supreme Personality of God, and the Lord responded and said, yes, I will come, and you tell the devas to take birth to assist me in my pastimes. He gives an opportunity, because the asuras had taken birth on earth and grown up in the royal families and creating a great burden. So we find today that leaders, especially in Kali Yuga, you know, there are many wicked rulers, wicked leaders, and the result, the consequence of demoniac leaders is you have suffering, so much suffering around the world, and so much suffering and violence, agitation, violence, so on and so forth. So this is very, very unfortunate. So when this situation occurs, Parichanaya Sadhana Vinasha, Dharma Vinasaya Chandushkrita, Yada Yada Hi Dharma Sagan Bhavita Bhavita, Advitana Vinasa, Adapanam Sujamya. Parichanaya Sadhana Vinasaya Chandushkrita, Dharma Samstava, Sambhuvam Yugi. I descend in every age, especially when there is a decline in religious practices, when there's an increase in the asuras. I descend to right the situation. Now, unfortunately, because of our perverted desires, we can become wicked. Although we're originally spiritual, we're devotees, all of us, materialists from all over the world, all the different living entities in the higher planets, lower planets, earth planets, all devotees, originally. But now coming to the world, coming in contact with the modes of material nature, especially the Rajaguna and the Tamaguna, develop all qualities, Dambo, Dapo, Vimana, Kuda, Parasimavacha, Agyanam, Chabajata, Sapata, Samad, Masarim, the demoniac qualities. You can, by your association, your desires and association, which gives you more desires and association, you can become very arrogant, very angry, very greedy, harsh in your dealings, ignorant, violent. These are the qualities of the asuras. We find in the world that many like that. We ourselves suffer from these types of qualities. We get very arrogant, we get very ignorant, get very greedy, and deal harshly, violently. Even we're devotees, sometimes we experience that. Now there are others who just primarily they're consumed by these qualities, and they act only in that way. A very sad situation. And when they are leaders of society, then that's even worse. It's bad enough to have individuals with these qualities giving trouble to this one and that one and the other one. But when that one is a leader, elevated to a leader of society, whether, you know, just locally, or, you know, in the city, or in the state, or in the country, internationally, and one has got demoniac qualities, then he is leading others along the same path. Others follow him, follow his example. They also have those qualities. So the situation becomes very, very unbearable. And there's so many reactions. So Lord Krishna comes to rectify the situation. Again and again I come. Yuge. Age after age, Krishna descends to rectify the great burden of countless wicked rulers. So Kubja represented the earth, who is overburdened in this way, and Krishna was going to rectify the situation. This is the one understanding, and of course, the pastime of where Lord Madhava was walking, and here it is mentioned that he is the bestower of the ecstasy of love. So as far as prema, love of God, that is within us all, but now it is so buried by, as I said, the influences of the material world and our own materialistic desires. It is underneath, you know, covered by our lifetimes of conditioning in the material world, that barely it is there, the real divine love. You know, we're not talking about love of the material world, you know, materialistic, material love, which comes and goes. This is more superficial. You know, a boy loves a girl loves a boy, and they're in love with one another, but after 6 months, 1 year, they may fall out of love and, you know, separate, or may even start to hate each other. So that type of love is just very shallow, and that's based on emotion. mundane emotion. Of course, we have spiritual emotion that is deeper, but and spiritual divine love that is deeper still, prema. So it is so covered that to attain the position of prema is not possible just by our own effort. Krishna is the bestower of the ecstasy of love, Krishna prema. He bestows that love on the living entity. In other words, he brings it out. We, as devotees, try very hard to follow the principles of bhakti, sadhana bhakti, vaidhi bhakti. We try to chant our rounds and follow the principles mentioned and requested by our guru. Our guru says at our initiation, yes, you have to refrain from taking intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, meat eating. And you have to chant your rounds. And, you know, along with these basic principles, there are others too, that we follow. We follow very strictly as best we can, especially after taking initiation. If one is serious, one, you know, vows that the whole life I'll follow these principles. And if one tries very hard and pleases the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his endeavor, then Krishna may be so kind as to bestow upon that person love of God. It is not solely just by our effort alone. I mean, the Christians say the same thing, don't they? It is not by work alone that one attains the grace of God. It's not, is it? They say it like that. Not by work alone. So we try our best. Krishna wants to see our effort. And then when he's happy by our effort, he can bestow upon us so much advancement and actual love of God. So here, the bestowal of the ecstasy of love. And this, and again, I reiterate that this type of love is not the love of the material world which comes and goes, but the love, the spiritual divine love which is originally ours, that is now has to be brought out, and Krishna, being so kind upon us, sees our effort and can bestow the wonderful ecstasy of prema, divine love. So, you know, we read the dealings of Krishna and Kubja. Who are you, O beautiful thighed one? Now, here is explained that Lord Krishna was a little bit joking here, you know, but he wasn't trying to be mean as such, because it is explained that he knew that within a few moments the girl would become a very beautiful girl. So, you know, she was all hunchbacked and so on. Please tell us truthfully, give us some of your finest ointment and you will soon gain a great boon. Now, in general, if someone gives in charity, it is said that that person who gives in charity will reap the result of giving the charity. You know, the karma for that is that you get nice reaction. You will get that back, or you will get even more back, depending on who you give it to and what it is, and so on and so forth. So here Krishna says that I will give you you will gain a great boon by giving this charity of the ointments that you make. And now, of course, Kubja was very, she was very smitten with Krishna. Krishna is described here as very beautiful. Kubja was overwhelmed by Krishna's beauty. Sometimes we see a very handsome man or a very beautiful woman. They are so handsome or they're so beautiful that one becomes overwhelmed. Some people have that opulence. It's considered an opulence. It's like one of Krishna's opulences is beauty. So someone in this world may have the opulence of being very, very handsome are beautiful. Other people, you know, just stare at them. They're so handsome. They're almost like another another species. The beautiful people. Sometimes we call them the beautiful people. They are the beautiful people all gathered today, and they all, you know, generally they associate with each other. And so the beautiful women and the beautiful men. And, you know, and Prabhupada actually mentions in some countries of the world, you know, and according to the Shastras, that some countries, the men are very handsome more than other countries, and the women are more beautiful than in other countries. He says like that. So they're specially noted. And of course, to have beauty is the result of good karma. Someone is very beautiful, someone is very handsome. It is a result of pious activities. Why they got like that? Why you didn't get? She is very beautiful, but you are not. He is very handsome, but you are not. And we envy like that. But they did the good works in the former life, and the result was they got the beauty. So, but Krishna's beauty, he doesn't have to do the good karma or anything like that. He's always got the beauty. His beauty is unlimited, ever expanding. His beauty expands more and more in reciprocation, especially with Radharani's love. Radharani loves Krishna so much and is just overwhelmed by Krishna's beauty that he expands his beauty more and more, and then of course Radharani expands her beauty to please Krishna. It is said that a man will always try to look handsome for his beloved, and a woman will always try to look the most beautiful for her beloved, right? So similarly, Radha and Krishna, that comes from Radha and Krishna. They're always trying to be more and more beautiful. So Krishna's beauty, unlimited beauty. It is one of his opulence. Beauty. And his charm. Someone very, very charming. Now what is the meaning of charm? What is charm? Rupa, you're the expert at this. Book distributor, he's out there, he charms people all day and sells them a book.
Ability to attract someone else.
Yes, that's good. Ability to attract someone else. We're charmed by your words, by your look, by your gestures. You're very charming. Very charming person. These types of qualities are very much reflective of someone in the mode of goodness. Unfortunately, you don't, these days in the Kali Yuga, with the more and more mode of ignorance and passion, you don't, people are losing their charm and so on and so on. And they'll gradually lose all the things, lose the beauty. In fact, at the end of Kali Yuga, it is said the people will be very ugly. Now people, there's some people very beautiful, still very handsome. And that, and as I said, that that comes from pious activity. So because in Kali Yuga the people will become less and less pious, then they won't have the beauty, they won't have the charm, they'll lose all those things. So I said at the end of the Kali Yuga, there will be, the people will not be very beautiful, they'll be very ugly. Of course, as far as they're concerned, they'll think they're very beautiful. But compared to today, at the end of the Kali Yuga, people will be ugly. But, you know, people, you know, when someone is just on the bodily platform, even they're very ugly, or they're attached to someone else, even they're very ugly, but they'll think they're very beautiful. Just like in the lower species of life, you have very ugly-looking species of life. The crocodile. The crocodile is not known to be a very beautiful creature. You may be in awe of its power or whatever, but you know and thinks that the crocodile is a very beautiful creature. But the male crocodile will look at the female crocodile and think, oh, she is very beautiful. It's a wondrous thing, isn't it? Isn't it? And the female crocodile will look at the male crocodile, oh, he's so handsome. He is my Lord. And we are looking and we're thinking, oh, what? Who is that male? Who is the female? We don't even know. Because they look the same. So it is said that the beauty is in the eye of the beholder. But certainly at the end of the Kali Yuga, it is mentioned in the Shastras that everyone will be very ugly and very small, tiny, pygmy size. This is all due to the reactions of sinful activities. So beauty, charm, certainly the result of pious activity. Krishna, of course, he is always in the transcendent position. He has unlimited beauty, unlimited charm. Very, very attractive. Someone is very charming person, and sweetness. sweetness, sweet smile, and very pleasing in his speech, very pleasing talker. So imagine if, you know, a man would dream about having a woman who has all these qualities, and a woman would dream about having a man with all these qualities. So, you know, a man, he is so handsome, he is so charming, he is so sweet, he's got the nice smile, he's a very wonderful speaker, and, you know, on top of that, he has unlimited wealth. Which I read for a woman is very important. And for a man, you know, of course, the woman, she's very beautiful, she's very young and beautiful. There's a number, I read a survey over 35 countries. What is that? When looking for a partner for the man, what is number one? She has to be young and beautiful. And for a woman, what is number one? How much money has he got? And then you have all the others going down the list. So, the female looks for certain things, the man looks for other things, but Krishna possesses all of them, unlimitedly. So therefore he is attractive to everyone, man, woman, everyone is attractive. Because some who are asuras, they're also attracted, but in another type of way. Like Kamsa, we'll read about Kamsa. He is attracted, he's thinking of Krishna night and day, but he's afraid. But still, Krishna attracts him. Krishna attracts him, so he's very, therefore he's not as all attractive. So here we find that Gubja is just overwhelmed with attraction for Krishna. And she immediately just wanted to give the ointments she had, she possessed to Krishna and Balaram. And so the lords Krishna and Balaram, Krishna, it is mentioned here, Krishna spread yellow ointment on his body. And Balaram spread the blue ointment on his body. It appears in those days, although it's not so much. Generally, these days, the women put different kind of ointments on and colours. I'm not an expert in these areas. They put on, but it appears, you know, and we read also in the Shastra that both men and women would use different ointments and makeup. Because now, these days, they call it the makeup, right? You put your makeup on. So, in the Vedic times, both men and women would do like that. So Krishna put yellow and Balaram put blue. Lord Krishna was pleased with Trivaka, so he decided to straighten that hunchback girl. Just to demonstrate the result of seeing him. Krishna always wants to bestow his mercy upon everyone. And he awards his devotees in so many different ways. Pressing down on her toes with both his feet, Lord Achyuta placed one upward pointing finger of each hand under her chin and straightened up her body. So Lord Achyuta, now Achyuta means, who knows what Achyuta means?
Infallible.
The infallible one. He can do anything. You can't, you know, these days, if someone's hunchback, you can't just get them and whoop. Who knows how many bones you're going to break in the body by doing like trying to do like that. But Krishna is so powerful. By his mystic potency, he just decided to do it in that way. He could have done it in every way. It's by looking at it. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just by glancing at someone, he was able to bestow upon them love of God. Just by looking at them. God can do anything in any way. He is not limited. So then she became very beautiful, just by the touch of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Suddenly she was transformed. She had a beautiful face, as mentioned, but there was no real description of that she wasn't considered beautiful in any other way. But all of a sudden, by the touch of the Lord, not only was she freed up from being a hunchback, but she was straight, but also a very beautiful woman. Now endowed with beauty, character and generosity. Now it appears here that Krishna endowed her not only with external beauty, but she had very nice character as well, and she was a very generous person. So someone can be very handsome or beautiful, but their character is very bad, very horrible person. Right? Well, she's very beautiful, but she is very nasty. Right? Or he is very handsome, but he is a very horrible person. Or he's very learned, but his character is not very good. Prabhupada says, learning and bad character, they go ill together. That is the worst. Because you've got learning, and then your learning will be misplaced by your bad character. That'll be worse. If you had bad character and didn't have any learning, would be better. You understand? It's not good to have the bad character. It's not good. But it would be better to have bad character and no learning, because with your learning and you've got bad character, then you will make more trouble. You will make more trouble because you will use your learning and influence others as well. So someone can be very learned, but if he's got bad character. Bad character means, you're acting very sinfully, so on and so forth. You've got the qualities of anger and violence and greed and there's bad character. So she was very beautiful and nice character. So quite often we read people, they're very beautiful or handsome, but they're very inside, they're very mean or whatever. But if someone has these qualities, all these qualities, that's very, very fortunate. It reflects Krishna's qualities. He's very beautiful, has topmost character, very charming, all these things. This is Krishna. So, of course, Akubja, having been touched by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was just wanted to have a conjugal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, as mentioned by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, she actually, Akubja, has an eternal conjugal relationship with Krishna already. She is the expansion of his queen Satyabhama. So, in that way, she is a representation of the Bhu Shakti and representing the earth and so on and so forth. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur supplies the following conversation between Kubja and Krishna. Krishna, is it for the purpose of dining that you are inviting me to your house? Kubja, I simply can't leave you here. Krishna, but people here on the King's Road will misconstrue what you are saying and laugh. Therefore, please don't speak like this. Kubja, I can't help being agitated. You made the mistake of touching me. It's not my fault. She's saying like this. So this is the conversation between Krishna and Kubja. Thus entreated by the woman, Lord Krishna first glanced at the face of Balaram, who was watching the incident, then at the face of the coward boys. Then with a laugh, Krishna replied to her as follows. O lady with beautiful eyebrows, soon as I fulfill my purpose, I will certainly visit your house where men can relieve their anxiety. Indeed, you are the best refuge for us homeless travellers. So Krishna was promised to come back. He was not yet married, and he promised to come back and spend some time with Kubja. But then, of course, he had to fulfill his purpose. He left, and his purpose, of course, ultimately was to deal with Kamsa. And Kamsa, the great Asura Kamsa. And along the way, there were others who had to be dealt with in different ways. His devotees, the washerman, was not so much a devotee. He had to be dealt with. But the weaver and Sudama and our Kubja. And now we'll read about how he goes to where the sacrificial bow is being kept and has to deal with that situation. And then the wrestlers, and then also Kamsa. So he has his ultimate purpose. All right, does anyone have a question or comment? Yes, please. Sorry? Who's Satyabhama? Related to Chandravali? Well, all were expansions from Radharani originally, even Chandravali. Chandravali has got a bit of a hot temper, so seems to me she would be more related to Satyabhama. Are you sure you read right there?
I don't know.
I think the most probably would be the other way. Maybe that they're... I can't remember exactly. Yeah, their expansions in this one, but it seems Satyabhama also had a little bit of a hot temper. And if she's related to Radha or Chandravali, to my mind she would be more related to Chandravali or expanded from Chandravali, the same sort of temperament. Oh, you could be right. No, Radharani also displayed the hot temper. No, I have to read up on that. Chandravali was more sometimes submissive, so maybe Rukmini's, it could be right. Yes?
What happens to the appearance of the Vaishnavas in
Oh, they're just practicing their own bhajan because there were so many asuras running around. They'll be just waiting for Krishna to come. What's that? Oh, they'll be very beautiful. The devotees are always beautiful. And also in appearance. Yes. Yeah, very difficult, isn't it? Who you vote for. If you don't vote, then you will be fined or something like that, right? So you have to cast your vote. You pick the one that has got some favourable to the Krishna consciousness. I don't know if there's any of them.
A lot of the Greens plan to be vegetarian.
Sorry?
A lot of the Greens plan to be vegetarian.
The Greens? I'll leave it up to all of you to decide. Any other question? Yeah, I said that already. I said that. Any other question? Can you speak up? There's a little bit of echo here too.
When you mentioned that when someone did a donation, he had to come back to have actions, like good actions.
If someone gives you a donation, or you're giving in charity.
Yes,
someone gives in charity. Yeah. If someone gives
a donation,
yeah.
To a devotee. But the devotee is not like it's not a pure platform. So what happens in that situation?
Well, to be on the pure platform takes time. So you know, to be the pure unalloyed devotee takes time. So there may be a few of you out there who are fully pure devotees. Main thing is that what you're doing with that donation. And even though we may not be totally pure, we are taking it and giving it and using it in Krishna's service. And then that becomes purified. So that person is benefiting so many times over. Because even though he is giving to you, and you may not be pure, but you are in turn using it in Krishna's service. And using it, offering it to Guru Maharaj, or offering it to the Vaishnavas who offer it to Krishna. So that whole arrangement becomes very sanctified. Even though you may not be feeling 100% Krishna conscious, or you're very much affected. Still, of course, if you were to take that and indulge it in materialistic sense gratification, then you know, that wouldn't be so beneficial for that person. And you would have to get some reaction for taking money and doing that. But if you use the money and give it to Krishna, and use it in Krishna's service, that person gets so much benefit. It's the main thing that how your consciousness may not, but still you're giving it to the one whose consciousness is very high and ultimately going to the Supreme Personality of God itself. In one sense, you could see that, you could say that, you know, your level is not so consequential, because ultimately it's going to Krishna. But still, in another way, if you're in good consciousness, then and just by your association, that person giving to you, there's a little bit more benefit as well. Does that answer your question? Any other questions? This is the degree of benefit, I think she was asking about that. You know, it's always beneficial, just being there, you're being there, someone being able to associate in that way. You know, you're carrying some books or whatever. So you're just, you're being a devotee and they're being able to meet. That's beneficial for you, beneficial for them. And but the degree, you know, depend. You know, your consciousness is a factor, and also how you, that donation is used is another factor. So there are various degrees of it all. Any other point or question? Jai Ho Glossa Prabhupada Ki Jai.